The sound, the energy, the life goes throughout the eight directions. Of the charm giver have enchanted me once long ago. I wanted the future made clear to me. Look in these eyes. Take the charm you find and see your way. I am the spirit. I give the charm of life, and you are the manifestation of my desire. Take the charm you find and see your way. I see fire, I see metal, I see ether. I see water. I see the charm of life. I see fire creating the heavens and the life force. I see earth and water creating what we call life. Miraculous, miraculous, miraculous. I see harmony in the creation of the element of each wonderful, unique human being. At times when I am lonely within myself, I recall the charm giver saying, take this charm I give you to protect you. Now you must go. Now you must go. And see your way on back to me. And see your way on back to me. And see your way on back to me. Namu Amitabhu. Namu Amitabhu. Namu When Sakyamuni came to pass the word to us, He had met many others. And just as it's been stated throughout this wonderful event here, by the way, there were many, many Buddhas before Sakyamuni, but he's the most important to us because he came and passed the word, shared the reality and wonderfulness of what's referred to as enlightenment with all of us. And he told one of his followers about this Buddha, Amida. And this Buddha Amida is the Lord of the Western Paradise, or the Most Happy World, which, by the way, is where we all live, everyone, throughout our whole universe. Amida made, before becoming Amida, was a bodhisattva and a student and working diligently. And he made 48 vows. We don't have to cover all 48, but we'd like to cover two of them. One, vow number 18. And by the way, if everything hadn't worked, he wouldn't have become a Buddha. And the wonderful universe that we, each individual, each wonderful you, have created throughout all time and space and throughout all the universe, and here, right this moment now, if he had not been able to accomplish these 48 vows, we would still have other paths to go along. But this path becomes very interesting. And vow number 18, provided I become a Buddha, if the beings of the 10 quarters, who after having heard my name, and thus awakened their highest faith, an aspiration of rebirth in the country of mine, even if they have recollected such a thought of being in my awareness for only 10 times, they are destined to be born in the pure land, with the exception of those who have committed the 5 deadly sins and who have blasphemed the orthodox law, the Dharma. Otherwise, I may not have attained enlightenment. And Sakyamuni informed us that he did attain enlightenment. So everything is fine. And now vow number 48. When I have obtained the Buddhahood, if the bodhisattvas of other countries, having heard my name, should not reach out, first, second, and third degrees of the Dharma enhancement immediately, or should turn back from the law of the Buddhas, then I will refrain from attaining enlightenment. So, and again, Sakyamuni explained all of this to his disciple Ananda, whom, by the way, he told a lot of, gave a lot of information that was passed upon to us through many Buddhist traditions. When the Pure Land, the name, calling the name of Amida, we say Namu Amida Butsu, and calling that name reminds us to be centered and focused. Because there are two powers, our wonderful individual self, unique power that we have to use in order to enhance the life force that we have. And there is the other power, which is the power of this Buddha Amida that is generated throughout all time and space, throughout all the universe. Wherever we may go, that power is there. It's like in the movie Star Wars, they say, the Jedi say, may the Force be with you. And this Force is a reference to the energy of this Buddha of infinite life, light, and compassion. I would like to read to you from a couple of things from a book called Shout. It was written by my teacher, Gyaiko Saito's teacher, Haya Ekegrasu. And it's an incredible document. First, I would like to read how my Dharma name came about and how my teacher encouraged me to find ways. This is absorbed in the Kegon Sutra. In listening to music, I am bothered mostly by the main elements that make up the music. In vocal music, the voice. In instruments, voice, and the instruments in instrumental music. I'd like to hear a song without the lyrics, piano music without a piano, or the music of the violin, flute, cello, samisen, koto, without any of those instruments. When I listen to the music of England, Germany, France, Russia, Italy, or Japan, it's not the elements that appears distinctively in each country's language. What I enjoy in the music of different instruments is not the piano, violin, flute, cello, samisen, or koto itself. There is the echo of the rhythm that transcends individual lyrics or individual instruments. There is a melody that is played from one heart to another. There is a melody that is played from one heart to another. And you know, as we have been through the whole session here, emphasis has been placed upon the wonderful, unique human heart. That human heart is the one that keeps all of us going, no matter how old or young we are, if we feel bad. If we focus on that wonderful, unique human heart, it'll make us feel better. Any kind of conflict can be resolved when we are using that human heart. By the way, we have something called a vital center, or hara. And this place is where all of the energy occurs. Approximately 2.5 inches below the navel, there is the center of this place. And when we reflect, we see all kind of things go on down in that area. It's a storage place. It's a garbage dump place. It's everything. It's the center. And it is also the center of our heart. Now back to the reading here. I would like to listen to new fresh music that no one has ever played before or listened to before. Not Wagner's, not Beethoven's or Mozart's. I want to listen to music which is the pulsing of my own heart and the coursing of the blood through my chest. I don't think there are many musicians who can let me hear such music. I wish there were many such musicians, but I don't think there are. I don't think there is even one who can let me listen to such music. Religion. Where does such a thing exist? Philosophy. I never heard of it. Art? Where is it? Ethics? Does it exist? These are concepts that exist within the people who talk about them. Some people just make noises saying one or different about the relationship of things which don't actually exist. Some people make up their own concepts and they play with them, talking them apart and putting them together. Taking them apart and putting them together. They are like naughty children. They go on talking about religion, philosophy, art, and ethics, which don't exist. And so they convince people that ministers, philosophers, artists, moralists exist, but actually there aren't really either. Sometimes we see such artificial tricks, and amongst the tricksters we find ministers, philosophers, artists, moralists. But among real human beings, there are no such people. There are no ministers. There are no philosophers. There are no artists. There are no moralists. It is perverse to say that Gautama Buddha is a minister or a religious leader, or that Socrates is a philosopher, or Ronin is an artist, or that Confucius is a moralist. There are people who sing, and there are people who write, and people who think, and there are people who live. But what's the matter with that? Among people, there is something they want to manifest. Some people sing it, some people write it, some people think it, some people live it. But whatever it is that is manifest in different ways, it is the same thing. How useless it is to categorize human beings or their deeds. Let's live only as living human beings, alive and lively. So this is the signal, the essence, and the direction that the Pure Land tradition wants to guide us in. Because this right here is the Pure Land, the wonderful world. Why? For two reasons. One, our own individual unique power, self-power is referred to, and our efforts, which we must not give up, our efforts to continue the way and wonderful path that we have been given, the direction. The five precepts, hold on to them. The eight directions, hold on to them. All of the teachings from anybody's point of view. Remember, Sakyamuni was born just like us. And his mother passed away, by the way, a few months after his birth. And he was raised by many, many others. Because he was a prince in his clan. So he had super special care. And then he got married when he was older, and he had a son. And for the first time after all of that, there was a festival going on, and he got on his horse with one of his caretakers with him, and because he had wanted to go out and see how the people were going on in the festival. And he was riding down the street through the villages, and he saw something he had never seen before. He saw an old man. He said, "What's that?" And then he saw a sick person. He said, "What is that?" Then he saw a dead person. He said, "What is that?" And he got very shook up. Very, very shook up. And he went back home, and secretly later, he just left. one night, just left. He had his guide to take him out in the woods. He was a Hindu Brahmin. And so he took him out there. And for several years, he wandered around from place to place, trying to find the answer to the problems that he had realized and experienced. So finally, one day, he found the answer. And he shared that answer with all of us still. Last year or year before last, it was last year, 2001, I went to India on a Buddhist pilgrimage. I went to Bodh Gaya and sat under that Bodhi tree that Sakyamuni had his experience under. And it's never even, I can't even describe the event. I might describe the tree, the temple, the village. But I tried to find words for the actual sitting. I sat there for 4 hours. And it was as if billions, trillions, tons of light just poured down on me. Illuminatory light, not just light from the bulb. And finally, someone touched me on the shoulder and said, "You've been here 4 hours. You might want to go get something to eat." And I left there. So, in my experience, I've also found other things. By the way, Sakyamuni was a flute player. And I would like to play some flute for you. I would like to do 4 sounds, and then your response to which of the 4 sounds were your sounds. These are healing sounds, by the way. I had an extraordinary event where I went to a 2-year-old who was actually looked just like he had just been born, and through this music, this healing sound that was played for him, he was able, for the first time in 2 years, to turn his mouth from down to up. And we know that down is the sorrow and the pain when we suffering and get mad, that it goes down, back, back, back. And when it comes up, it's referred to as a smile because of the positive energy that is generated when we smile. So for the first time, he was able to smile and open his mouth and actually move his head from side to side because of that sound. And he was able to stretch out. His whole little body was about that big, and he had been like this all his life, and that sound had allowed him, given him the energy, the direction to stretch out. And it was amazing. So what I'd like to do now is to play 4 sounds, and I will call the number, and you see which sound is. You raise your hand if it's number 1, or number 2, or number 3, or number 4. Sound 1. who was close to the first sound? Okay. Who was close to the second sound? Okay. Who was close to the third sound? Okay. And who was close to the fourth sound? Okay. We had the dominant to the first sound, which is, by the way, the strongest healing sound. This one. That's the strongest healing sound. And that's been scientifically proven. Not just some idea this guy had. And actually, that's E. E. And the second one is C sharp, which is not very popular, but all sounds are useful. And the third one is G. And the fourth one is A. So in a scientific perspective, the E and the A are the mostly used for healing. And we're going to continue now with some... I had... at one point, I stopped. For a long time, I was a musician that traveled around throughout. I was very fortunate to have been able to travel around this whole planet. North Pole, from the North Pole, all the way down to South America, all over the East, all over the West. And what I learned was a lot about music, but I learned a lot about the people that live in this wonderful, unique place that we call Earth. And just as they were saying about being in different places, like she mentioned being in Africa and the people being also wonderful there, and they sat and bowed, and we couldn't understand why we here in this country didn't understand a lot about all of that. Anyway, I'd like for all of you now to join me in this song, and then we're going to have a few other songs, but the rest of the event now shall be music. And we're beginning with a song that everyone is going to sing. I'd like for you just to repeat the line after me. And this is about the sitting meditation. This is about Zazen. Yeah, you can have a mic. Did you ever sit down?
Did you ever sit down?
On a pillow that's round.
On a pillow that's round.
And discover that you belong there.
And discover that you belong there.
That your heart and your soul.
That your heart and your soul.
Yes, they are truly both.
Yes, they are truly both.
You can live your life straight.
You can live your life straight.
As an arrow.
As an arrow.
You are right to the mark of the target.
You are right to the mark of the target.
All the love in your heart, it is pure.
All the love in your heart, it is pure.
You are free in yourself as the air is.
You are free in yourself as the air
discover blues for Zazen.
Then you discover blues for Zazen.
Yet. Yet you go on your way.
Yet you go on your way.
Living day after day.
Living day after day.
Knowing all you need do.
Knowing all you need do.
Is sit down.
Is sit down.
Everything that you feel.
Everything that you feel.
Is a block in your path.
Is a block in your path.
And your reason for living.
And your reason for living.
Is sorrow.
Is sorrow.
And though no one speaks.
And though no one speaks.
As you go there.
As you go there.
To the quiet place that's inside.
To the quiet place that's inside.
You are all at one with the heaven.
You are all at one with the heaven.
Even the hell gods let you pass by.
Even the hell gods let you pass by.
If you've never sat down.
If you've never sat down.
On a pillow that's round.
On a pillow that's round.
You may just be missing.
You may just be missing.
A great pleasure.
A great pleasure.
Though it's hard when you start.
Though it's hard when you start.
And to just simply sit down.
To just simply sit down.
You may just be missing.
You may just be missing.
A great pleasure.
A great pleasure.
And though no one speaks.
And though no one speaks.
As you go there.
As you go there.
Into the quiet place that's inside.
Into the quiet place that's inside.
You are all at one with the heavens.
You are all at one with the heavens.
Even the hell gods let you pass by.
Even the hell gods let you pass by.
Though it's hard when you start.
Though it's hard when you start.
To just simply sit down.
To just simply sit down.
You'll discover a joy.
You'll discover a joy
in your being.
In your being.
Let the demons come.
Let the demons come.
You'll destroy them.
You'll destroy them.
Let the terror grip.
Let the terror grip
on your soul.
On your soul.
Let the joy of life.
Let the joy of life.
Enfold you.
Enfold you.
And then you'll discover.
And then you'll discover.
Blues for Zazen.
Blues for Zazen.
Then you'll discover.
Then you'll discover.
Blues for Zazen.
Blues for Zazen.
You ready for the song in the lightning? Oh, you got 3 pages.
Don't you have 3 pages?
Yeah, well, we can put it. Can we use yours up here?
Yeah, we could use mine up there.
We'll put it up on that. Okay.
Yep, is that fine? Show me.
How's that?
That's good.
This is the song of enlightenment coming from the Shinshu service book. We do a lot of singing, and we have choir and pianos, and we sing in English because we have English services, and we sing in Japanese because we have Japanese services. The Shinshu tradition came here from China and Japan when the immigrants came here long, long ago, and it is the Buddhist practice of laborers, poor people, people who don't have very much education, etc., etc. Although that's not the case today, but that's how it started out. It even started out here in our country like that, and right, by the way, in this state, California, because that's where they all came. They came to, as immigrants, and they stayed right here in this state of California. So there are many Shinshu Japanese and Shinshu Chinese temples here. So we're gonna, she's gonna sing now this song of enlightenment, and I'm gonna just go along with her.
just a minute. Now this is a first. This is a first.
And now we're going to close down.